Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
You're listening to Rami Makhlouf.
So I just Googled you because I have never heard you on The Score. You aren't the guy of your same name who is a Syrian businessman and cousin of the vicious evil dictator of Syria, are you? Either way, you're doing great.
He must have been some dictator.
He was a very bad dictator.
Yes, very bad.
Even if I'm that guy, I'm doing a great job. Well, I'll tell you, thank you. And no, I'm not that guy.
You're not that guy, pal. Trust me, you're not that guy.
Although I have had to convince the government of that on one or two occasions to get my name off of watch lists.
The FBI and CIA both have you on a shoot to kill watch list. You have to tell me where you are.
Every time I'm going through an airport, man, they're definitely going to pull me aside because of this, dude. But nope, hasn't happened in an airport yet. It's caused me a few problems, never in an airport.
On Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
I'm not him, and I appreciate the kind words, sir. Thank you.
I am Rami Makhlouf. I'm just not that Rami Makhlouf here with you on The Score on New Year's Day. Happy New Year's, Score listeners. With you until 11:45, taking you right up to UConn at DePaul. You know, I don't think we've played that open. I have a few opens, and I appreciate all the producers who put those together. Tyler Farengol on the other side of the glass today. Tyler, thanks for getting up early on a New Year's Day to produce all the Score's early morning and afternoon programming. We do appreciate it, but there have been developments with that guy. I'm not going to bore you with all that. I'm here to talk sports, but there have been developments with that other Rami Makhlouf. Just Google it if you're curious, and then he'll probably be the first one to come up. I was going to say scroll past me and then get to him, but he'll probably be the first one to come up. Dude's done some stuff, and things have happened since the last time we played that open. But I digress. That's not what I'm here to talk about. Like I said, I'm here to talk Chicago sports with you on New Year's Day. If you're up to it, give me a call, 312-644-6767. If you're still feeling last night, maybe all you can muster up is a text. You can do that as well. Same number, 312-644-6767. You can always tweet me at Rami is tweeting. And I have about the first half hour, 40 minutes of the show to hear from you before I hear from Mark Grody. No need to introduce that man. He covers the Bears for 670 The Score, host of the Take the North pod. He'll be here at 11:40. And Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, my old buddy from the Fan up in Milwaukee, he hosts Wisconsin Sports Daily. He'll be here at noon to talk Packers and Bears with me and get you ready for that matchup this Sunday. But I do want to start talking some Bears with you this morning, 312-644-6767, and ask you a question. Do you watch the rest of the league and get angry and think, what if? And what's your biggest what if in the NFL today when it comes to the Chicago Bears? 312-644-6767. Because I said the last time I was here on these airwaves a few days ago, and I don't know if I'd call this my New Year's resolution, but I decided I'm not getting mad about the Bears anymore. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to get mad when I watch the Bears. I'm not going to sit here and well, I guess I will pick apart and analyze every move they make because that's what I get paid to do. But I'm not going to let it ruffle my feathers. You know what I mean? I'm not going to get upset about the Bears because what am I doing? Well, I'm getting upset about a team that they don't even care to a degree from what I can tell when they go out there on the field on a week to week basis. It's not good for my health, and it's not doing any good for the big picture. So what am I getting upset about the Bears for, right? But I think I found a loophole. Maybe I just need to get this stuff out of my system. Maybe I just use sports and this outlet, this platform here on 670 The Score, which I appreciate anytime they allow me to grace these airwaves. 33 years tomorrow, by the way. Congratulations, 670 The Score. Maybe I just use this as an outlet to get out, you know, anger and frustration from other avenues of life in the world. But I think I found a loophole because I wasn't even watching the Bears. Well, I did watch the Bears on Sunday, but that's not what made me mad. That's not what made me mad. That's not what made me angry. I got angry watching the rest of the league. I got angry watching the rest of the NFL. And first of all, like, I just see like good football, and especially games where there's good football on coming from both sidelines and like well-coached teams. And I'm like, man, this is fun. Why can't I get this on a week-to-week basis from the team that I actually root for? This is high-quality football right here. This is some good coaching going back and forth. Why don't I get this from my team? Like, that's just a big picture. That's just a general overview of me getting frustrated with the Chicago Bears, getting angry and wondering what if, and wondering if you do the same at 312-644-6767. I can't help watch some of these other teams around the league and go, that guy could be a Bear. And what would that look like? How cool would that be? And there are examples of it all over the league. I just have a few. And like I said, I'd like to hear from you if you got any. 312-644-6767. But I can't help but watch the rest of this league and go, what if that guy was a Bear? There's a popular Marvel series. I don't watch it. I don't really do animation anymore. I don't know. I lose interest for some reason. I don't know. Something changed in my brain. But there's a popular Marvel show called What If? And they go down like these hypothetical alternate universes where different characters are put in different situations. And what would they be like if they were in that situation? And I kind of do the same thing watching the NFL and seeing guys all over this league who the Bears had their chance to go and get and didn't go and get. And I'm wondering if you do the same thing. 312-644-6767. And I get angry. I get angry watching this. And going, why did they see that and the Bears didn't? What did they see in that guy that the Bears didn't? What went wrong here that the Bears ended up with this guy and they ended up with that guy? And the place that I start, probably the most obvious example, and it's in Washington, man. And watching Jaden Daniels pull off the win against Atlanta on Sunday, put them in position to get in the playoffs under the tutelage of Cliff Kingsbury. And there's two different ways you could go with that. I'm not going to sit here and say I wish they took Jaden Daniels instead of Caleb Williams. I'm not there yet. Check with me in a year. Check with me in a couple of years. But I'm not there yet. I more envy the situation that they put Jaden Daniels in there in Washington. And man, that was just a bad situation, bad culture. Like they did nothing but lose in Washington. And while we've been being told to be patient with the Chicago Bears, they turn it around just like that. Just like that. They hire the right head coach. They get the right offensive coordinator. They get that defense right. They get the quarterback. And now he's on pace to win Rookie of the Year. Run away with Rookie of the Year. That was supposed to be us. That was supposed to be Caleb Williams wowing this league and running away with Rookie of the Year. How'd they do that? Why didn't we do that? How'd they get it right? Why didn't we get it right? But that's just the start of it. As I go down the hypothetical path of what ifs around the NFL, watching the league, because we've gotten a chance to watch a lot more of the league here the last couple of weeks. At least I have. The way the schedule has lined up with games on Christmas and day after Christmas, like there have been a lot of nights and games that are in the spotlight, and you get a chance to just sit down and watch more than we have recently or throughout the season. So I start with Daniels and Kingsbury and dice that up however you'd like. But then I move to one that really kind of irks me. And I look at what happened in that game last week between the Packers, who the Bears will see Sunday, and the Vikings. And the Vikings moved to 14-2, man. 14-2 with Sam Darnold as their quarterback. I was one of the few people saying before the season started, Don't be surprised if the Vikings are in the mix in the NFC North. Because I feel better about Kevin O'Connell overseeing Sam Darnold and that offense than I do about whatever the Bears had this year and had going into this year. That dude can coach, man. That dude can coach his ass off. In a division with real good coaches, well, except for the Bears, in a division with real good coaches, he's probably the best, and he's probably going to be coach of the year. He has the highest win percentage in one-score games in the history of the NFL. That sting a little bit, knowing what you know about Matt Eberflus, who was hired the same hiring cycle, and they didn't even check in with Kevin O'Connell. He has the best record in one-score games in the history of the NFL, while Matt Eberflus had the third worst mark in the history of the NFL. And guess what? One of the guys he was better than? Another former Chicago Bears head coach in John Fox. Only better than John Fox and Abe Gibron. And the Bears didn't even call. They didn't see anything there in Kevin O'Connell, your 2024 NFL Coach of the Year, with a 14-2 record going into week 17, playing for the one seed, the division, and the bye, and with the best record in one-score games in the history of this league, and the Bears saw nothing there. They're like, nah, we don't need to talk to him. Another what if. Saquon Barkley. The Eagles showed DeAndre Swift the door so they could upgrade at running back and bring in Saquon Barkley. The Bears were like, give me that. Give me your scraps. Let me have your leftovers, Philadelphia. Love those crumbs falling down on the floor from your table as you go and get one of the best running backs in the history of this league who just cracked 2,000 yards last week and goes for Eric Dickerson's record with 105 yards this Sunday. And the Bears had as much cap room and money as anybody in this league. And we heard in the Hard Knocks offseason following the New York Giants that they were one of the teams pushing up the price for Saquon Barkley. So obviously they went in on him, but let themselves be outbid by the Eagles and decided to settle for DeAndre Swift. How's that working out for you? Can you imagine having a guy like Saquon Barkley? Because, look, man, I along with the rest of Chicago, was real happy about the weapons that they put around Caleb Williams in the offseason. But you gotta If you're an NFL quarterback, you need time. And if you're a rookie quarterback, you need a little bit, I mean, time in terms of the offensive line, some protection. But you also need time to sort of figure this league out. Like, I didn't expect Caleb Williams to come out the gates just slinging that ball all over the place and getting it to all these weapons that he has around him. You know what's real easy to do? Turn it around and hand it to Saquon Barkley. Or pitch it to him or throw a little screen to him. And you know what that makes opposing defenses do? They're not locked in on the rookie QB. They're not going, that's who we need to stop. That's who we need to game plan for. They're game planning for Saquon Barkley. They got their eyes on him. That frees up Caleb Williams a little bit. That would have been immeasurably good for Caleb Williams' development in his rookie year to have a guy like Saquon Barkley behind him. But now the Bears got outbid. And then there's one more. There's one more what if. As I watched the rest of the league here the last couple of weeks over the holidays and got angry after I said I wasn't going to get angry about the Bears and wondered what if. And if you're doing the same, let me know at 312-644-6767. And that's Brock Bowers, man. And I like Rome Odunze. Don't take this the wrong way. Rome's had a solid rookie year. Been a clutch receiver. You know, he leads the league with 90 receiving yards on fourth down. It's pretty good. 52 catches for 716 yards and 3 touchdowns. 6th among rookies in targets and receiving yards. Not bad. Not bad. Pretty good. I liked the pick when they made it. I was like, cool, another receiver for Caleb Williams to throw to. You know who's been really good, though? And I remember, I hope I'm crediting the right person. I think it was Anthony Heron here on these airwaves a couple of weeks ago. Who said they were talking about Rome Odunze, and he said he's been good, but you know, when you're drafting a wide receiver number 8, you want like Justin Jefferson type stuff. And maybe Rome Odunze gets there. He is the 3rd receiver in a dysfunctional offense with a rookie quarterback. So the measuring stick, maybe not quite accurate when we're looking at Rome Odunze compared to other rookies. But I know one guy who was taken in the NFL draft this past offseason who's been an absolute stud. And I don't have to go, maybe he figures it out. And guess what? He's been in just as dysfunctional a situation playing with worse quarterbacks and for maybe a worse team and a worse offense than what Rome Odunze has, and just been an absolute stud. And that's Brock Bowers for the Las Vegas Raiders, who broke Mike Ditka's record. It's like a 64, 65-year-old record for receptions in a rookie season by a tight end. 108 receptions for 1,144 yards, over 10 yards per catch, and 4 touchdowns this season. And I know they got Cole Kmet. First of all, are we all so sure about Cole Kmet? I like the dude. He's shown some flashes. He's had one really good season in the NFL. But are we all that sure about Cole Kmet? And even if you are, would it be bad to have 2 tight ends? Patriots didn't seem to mind. Now, obviously that went wrong. But not on the football field. It worked on the football field. So I like Rome Odunze. I love Brock Bowers, man. And I would love for Caleb Williams to be throwing the football to Brock Bowers for the next 10 years. 108 receptions in his rookie year? For the Raiders? Like, you can't even point to that and go, well, yeah, but he's got... No, he doesn't. He doesn't. Is Aiden O'Connell still their quarterback? I don't even know. I don't even know who's playing quarterback for the Raiders right now. And I know they hired Luke Getsy to be their offensive coordinator. Quickly realized what they did there and fired him. But that's a bad and dysfunctional team and organization. And that dude still put up numbers. That dude still put up historic numbers. So I think you're comparing apples to apples in comparing Rome Odunze's situation and Brock Bowers. And for as good as Rome Odunze has been in his rookie year, given everything he's dealt with, Brock Bowers has been great. So there's just a handful of the what-ifs around the NFL that went through my head and made me very, very angry as I got a chance to watch the rest of the league these past couple weeks. Were you doing the same thing? And what's your biggest what-if? 312-644-6767. I'll talk with Mark Grody coming up at 1140. I want to talk with you next. Rami Makhlouf with you on New Year's Day right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're back live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Taking you right up to 1245. DePaul and UConn on these airwaves at that time. I'll talk with Mark Grody coming up at 1140 about the Chicago Bears. Talking those Bears with you right now at 312-644-6767. You watch the rest of the league and ask yourself, what if that guy was a Bear when they had a chance to make him a Bear, and does it make you angry? 312-644-6767. I'm going to go right out to the phones, get as many of you in as I can before we talk with Grody, and go right out to Rock Island. And Justin, you're on the score. What's up, Justin?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man.
I was watching the Chargers, and watching Joe Alt really kind of perturbed me because he's way better than Braxton Jones. And I wondered what Caleb's records would be if we had a good left tackle like that.
That's a good one, man. That's a good one. And to go right along with that one, got a text here from the 708. The most obvious example is San Diego. And he brings up, how did the Bears not hire Harbaugh last year? We all knew he was an upgrade. And I'm going to be real with you. I thought of this topic when I was in the car listening to that Chargers game, but I couldn't write down my notes. The only thing I could remember was I watched the rest of the league and I asked myself, what if, and I get angry. Jim Harbaugh was actually the one who inspired this topic, and then I forgot to include him on my list when I later got a chance to sit down and take some notes and put some thought into this. That's a great example. And Joe Alt along with Jim Harbaugh. And you look at what those guys have done for Justin Herbert and his development and his success in this league, and now they're headed to the playoffs. And yeah, you got to ask yourself, what if? What if that guy was the coach and that guy was his left tackle? How good would that look? How happy would that make Caleb Williams? That's a real good one, man. That's a good start. This text from the 815, unless any of your what-if scenarios take into account that Shane Waldron is the OC, then they are crap takes. I mean, we're starting off the new year with crap, calling my takes crap. These are just what-ifs. These are hypotheticals. My hypotheticals are crap now. Start the new year off happier, people. Start the new year off a little bit less combative and critical of folks, all right? And by the way, one of my what-ifs was, what if Shane Waldron wasn't the OC and Cliff Kingsbury was? So I covered that base, sir or ma'am from the 815, calling my takes crap. We're not even 12 hours into a new year, and that's already the attitude you're taking. Lighten up a little bit. 312-644-6767. Let's go out to Rockford. And Dan, you're on 670 The Score. What's up, Dan?
Hey, thanks so much for taking the call.
My pleasure.
Man, another frustrated Bears fan with another frustrated year. The what-ifs, I mean, I think they start with Harbaugh, for one. I thought the stars were aligning where we were going to get the opportunity to have like a dream scenario here where we actually get it right, where we have the opportunity to bring in a coach with a proven record of winning and winning on the biggest stages, and we just flopped completely, didn't even bring the guy in. And mm-hmm. And then you go back to polls from the very beginning when he took the job, his complete destruction of that very first free agency where he brings a guy in, signs him, knowing that he had question marks regarding his health, and then we're left with what, Justin Jones? I mean, these are the things that continue to harm us, and it's just so frustrating as a Bears fan, because you're right. There's one thing, as I was listening to you, is I got more and more mad the more I heard you talk, because you're bringing up more and more things that I'm like, oh, crap, I forgot about that. You know, and it's just like, man, I believe in Caleb Williams. I do think that, you know what, ultimately, over the next 10 years, that guy is going to be a stud. I am so frustrated that we continue to get it wrong. We have Cliff in the building, and we let him walk away. And we got a guy who no one liked, who Pete Carroll got rid of. Okay? So it's just, like, so frustrating that we're not doing our homework, and this is a consistency with Ryan Poles. I like the way he talks, but just because you're a good talker doesn't mean you're good at running a team. And unfortunately, I think this is where, you know, us Bears fans got to stand together and make a call for this guy to be gone.
I appreciate the call. I'm on the fence. I'm on the fence when it comes to Ryan Poles. I really am. The number one thing he's got going for him in terms of my in my mind and what makes me reticent to move on from him is that messes up the timeline and the clock even more. Like, I don't want to stick with a guy if he's not the guy for that reason and that reason alone. But now you're bringing in a new GM who didn't draft Caleb Williams, which was the same situation Justin Fields was in when Ryan Poles inherited him. That's not where I want to be. But then again, if he's just not a very good general manager, and there are signs that point to that, some of which were just laid out by the caller there, then you do have to move on. But I feel like the Bears are in a position where they either have to move on from Ryan Poles this year or add a year to his contract. I don't think they can just let him sit there with 1 year left on his deal and be like a lame duck GM. Coaches don't want to walk into that situation. If you're trying to entice a Ben Johnson or anyone else over here, they don't want to walk into that situation of uncertainty. As far as him being so sure that Caleb Williams is going to be a great quarterback the next 10 years, I am very, very sure Caleb Williams has what it takes to be a great quarterback for the Bears for the next 10 years. I'm not so sure that the Bears are going to put the right pieces around him. Oh, and this just popped into my head. When it comes to Ryan Poles, we could play what if there. Vikings GM Kwesi Adolfo-Mensah hired in the same offseason, same hiring cycle as Ryan Poles. That's working out a lot better in Minnesota in a lot of different ways than how things look here in Chicago. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Forest Park. And Fred, you're on the score. What's up, Fred?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Thanks for taking my call. You touched on it earlier, and what I'm calling in about is just their ownership, man. And you know, that to have a problem that starts there, you know, that's so deeply rooted that you can only hope they change their approach, because they're never going to go anywhere. You know what I'm saying? So in terms of the way they do things in the Bear with the Bears, how they refuse, you know, to hire a coach with a voice, somebody that, you know, the team obviously needs, but they'd rather put their own, you know, their own stamp on things ahead of what actually it takes to build up a competitive football team like you're talking about on TV. You know what I'm saying?
You're right. It starts at the top.
They won't sign the player. You know, they pass on Carter, you know, last year. They pass on Harbaugh, all these guys. You know, they're a little rough around the edges. They talk to, you know, whatever it is that rubs them wrong. And then they sell us this culture, and then look at it. Where's it at? You know, you had a guy being investigated by the feds. It just stop. Just stop. It's garbage. It's hot garbage.
And it does start at the top. I appreciate the call. Guess what? Another what if. You know what they got in Washington this year? New ownership. There's another what if. What if that guy bought the Bears somehow instead of the McCaskies still owning them? And I do believe it all starts there. It all starts there and trickles down for some of the reasons that he just pointed out. Get a few texts in here from the 630. I'm glad you finally mentioned the Swift selection over Barkley. It's very apparent that Poles made the wrong choice when it came to filling that position. Flip side of that, from the 708, Swift is a very good running back. Get the line fixed and develop schemes to fit his skill set, and we will see it. He's probably very, he could be very good. You know what he's not? Great. That's what Saquon Barkley is. Turn on an Eagles game. Tell me if you see the difference. From the 312, echoing that caller's sentiments, the problem with all of these people that you're mentioning, the Bears would have ultimately ruined all of them. Ownership needs to change. And then this one, I have to disagree with. Neither Barkley nor Bowers would have been as good here. Barkley would not have run for 2,000 yards behind this line, and the Bears have three tight ends that they ignored. Saquon Barkley is going to be real good behind almost any offensive line. There is something to be said about a quicker first step, quicker first cut, making an offensive line better. Saquon Barkley makes something out of nothing. That's not something that DeAndre Swift does. There are plays that have been blown up that if you swapped out DeAndre Swift for Saquon Barkley, he'd have made something happen with it. 414, Poles passed up the opportunity to have the absolute very best at tight end in order to have a very good receiver. You can't do that, echoing my comments on the decision to go with Roma Dunze over Brock Bowers. Keep those coming if you want to keep sending the text in. Might have time to squeeze in a few more calls later on in the show. Tell me if you watch the rest of the league, ask yourself what if and get angry about it. Keep shooting those texts over. 312-644-6767. Hit a quick break on the other side. Talk with that dude who covers the Bears for 670 The Score. The host of the Take the North pod, Mark Grody, joins me, Rami Makhlouf, next, right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Rami Makhlouf with you on the score this New Year's morning. Yeah, it's still morning. It's 11:41 a.m. I'll be talking with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer for a view from the other side of Packers and Bears of 12:50 a.m. The Fan in Milwaukee coming up at high noon. But joining me now on the score hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois, this man needs no introduction. You know him. You love him. He covers the Bears for 670 The Score. He's the host of the Take the North pod. Follow him on Twitter at Grody Sports. Mark Grody joins me. Grody, how are you this morning, my man? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, man. I would say that
It is early, actually. You have to adjust on New Year's Day. Like, this is early morning. Most people, it's probably the average wake-up is probably 10:30 today. So, no, you're hitting them in the sweet spot, brother.
Yeah, that alarm clock was not pleasant this morning. I did not need to hear that this morning, Grody. But happy to be here. Happy to be here on the Score airwaves. Always a pleasure to talk to you, sir. Can I ask you a question before I ask you about the Bears? Can I ask you a question about Mark Grody and covering the Bears real quick?
Yes, please.
Are you running out of stuff to ask these guys? Because, like, I just have to come up with stupid stuff to talk about every day. You have to be a professional reporter. Go face these guys and ask them real questions about what's going on. That feels like there's not a lot left in that tank, Grody.
Well, and the overall general questioning of this team, yes, it's become difficult just because the team obviously has been each week the next level of the losing streak, and how do they feel about the losing streak? And especially now that the two coaches have been fired this year, and we're now officially used to Thomas Brown and Chris Beatty and the rest in Eric Washington calling plays, that it all of a sudden has kind of normalized. But I will say that these games have been so eventful, and something sports tragic seems to happen in each and every single one of these losses, that it sustains us to some degree. It sustains us in the post-game locker rooms, and then it tends to sustain us throughout the week. But I understand what you're asking for sure, but there's always something with this team. And, you know, now you mix in the stuff that you've been talking about this morning. Like, you start to get the peripheral questions about the next potential coaching staff and where players lie in terms of their futures and Thomas Brown's future and all the futures that exist. But yeah, there's definitely some questions that have become exhausting in this locker room. They're tired of us. We're tired of them, and we all need an offseason.
Yeah, you and DJ Moore both thinking about vacation. That's where you're both at right now.
Hell yeah. That's why I think I was the only one, ironically, who understood where DJ Moore was coming from that day when I asked that follow-up question. I'm like, yeah, you're going on vacation. So am I, man. We all want to get the hell out of here for a while. So,
but that doesn't mean you're checking out. You're still putting in the work. You know, you're still hosting the Take the North pod. You're doing the Bears hits every day right here on the Score. You're asking the questions people want to hear. So it doesn't mean you're mailing it in. You're just, if somebody asks you about the offseason, you just go vacation.
Let me tell you something. All right, now that we're doing this topic here, I am right now. Okay, two things for you, Rami, since you mentioned Take the North too. Yeah. I am right now. I'm not on the schedule at the Score today. Nobody told me I had to go to Hallis Hall today because I'm doing the morning show tomorrow. I am going to Hallis Hall today because I want to go to Hallis Hall today because it's Caleb's last day at the podium. For leading up to a game, obviously, it's the final juicy. And, like, you will get locker room access on Friday, but I won't be there tomorrow. So I was like, I am a hero today, Rami. I am going to Hallis Hall because
are.
I want to, and I feel like I need to be there. So that's number one. Number two, you mentioned the Take the North podcast and the way that we're trying to amuse ourselves, Dan Wiederer and I. There is our podcast up right now. We are ranking the losses from least worst to worst. And we all did them. It's pretty cool. So we did an average of Dan Wiederer's, Adam Staszynski's, and mine. And we came up with that list. And then we all reveal our individual lists, which are all just a little bit different. I will tease the audience in saying, because you got to listen to the Take the North podcast, my number one is different from those of Adam Staszynski and Dan Wiederer. So how you like me now?
That's a great little exercise. Talking with Mark Grody. Go check out the Take the North pod on your Odyssey app, wherever you get podcasts. And, of course, he covers the Bears for us right here on 670 The Score. I was doing a little exercise this morning, Grody, because I decided I was not going to get mad about the Bears anymore, but then I found a loophole in it. By watching the rest of the league and getting mad that there were guys all over this league who could be Bears right now and theoretically making this team a better team and a better organization. It was like a little what if exercise. And I'll give you just a few examples of what I'm talking about. I mentioned Kevin O'Connell, who they didn't even call when they hired Matt Eberflus, Saquon Barkley. And one that I haven't heard people talk about, we all love Rome Odunze, but Brock Bowers is setting the world on fire for a bad offense and a dysfunctional organization. Like, he could be doing that for this bad offense and this dysfunctional organization right now. Do you look around the league and is there one or two what ifs that really pop out to you in terms of the Bears missed on that guy?
Yeah, I mean, for the record, and this isn't exactly thinking outside of the box because Brock Bowers was a first-round prospect, but in my first mock draft I did, I had Brock Bowers, and I was trying to sell that on the air. Like, you could really solidify that tight end room, and how perfect would it be? But there's no proof that Caleb Williams would have thrown to any tight end on this team because there's very little proof that has happened this year. You know, and that's one of those things that falls direct. You know, like, there's things this season, man, like, and I can never be too hard on a rookie quarterback, but there are things this season that we've all wondered, like, what is going on with the beginnings of games? What's going on with the lack of targets to Cole Kmet? At some point in time, some of that has to fall squarely on number 18, that he is the common theme when it comes to that. So, yeah, I think the Brock Bowers thing is worth looking at. I think it's also interesting, too, to continue to consider the Jalen Carter situation and what happened there. And I know you're talking about this year, but, you know, darn all right, the Jalen Carter. I mean, it's fair to look back on that. I will say that I probably am still preferring that they did Darnell Wright over Jalen Carter, just because that we saw the mess that somebody with questionable character and Nate Davis was this year. So the idea or the concept of going after character guys is a real thing. But, you know, right there in that sentence, I gave you one that I think Ryan Poles may have gotten right and one that he got dead wrong. So, you know, I don't know if I'm ready to just look at it and long for other players after 1 year. I mean, if you're really doing this, then we should be talking about wanting Jaden Daniels to have been on this team and not Caleb Williams. You know, and one thing that I've been thinking about, too, with this team and these players, and is this a bad team? I mean, what has to be remembered or said out loud again, because nobody's going to forget, this team had the wrong coaching staff this year. They had the wrong coaches. They had the wrong head coach. They had the wrong offensive coordinator. And quite frankly, you know, Eric Washington's a guy who's had so little play calling experience, they may have hired the wrong defensive coordinator too at this point. And so all of that has to be kept in mind when we talk about these players this year, or how bad this season has been and who should be here as opposed to the players that are here. I know there has to be change, and not everybody is going to be back, but it's a pretty big deal when you have the wrong guys teaching you and scheming you and trying to put you in the right places to succeed.
Yeah, that's going to be hard for any NFL player, much less a rookie quarterback and wide receiver. And I'm not out on Caleb. I'm not out on Rome by any means. I said at the start of the season, those are the only two guys in the organization that I have any patience for. So I'm at least going to give them another year before I start saying, would have rather had this guy or that guy. Kevin O'Connell really irks me, though, but that's another discussion for another day.
That's fair.
As far as Caleb Williams goes, I worry that he's not good enough, or he doesn't have all the tools, or the generational tag that people put on him when he was coming out of the draft was not fair or accurate. I just think any quarterback can be broken by a dysfunctional organization and by being in the middle of chaos. You see Caleb Williams as much as anybody on a day-to-day basis. Any change in this guy and any signs to you that there are cracks there and maybe the beginnings of breaking another quarterback here in Chicago?
I also don't think there has been much change. I mean, we're all looking close. We're all, and to some degree, maybe even projecting. Like, when we see him, if his head is down, or if he answers a question and he's not given eye contact, or if he's speaking in low tones, or there's a look in his eyes. Like, we're all wanting, Caleb Williams looks like he's a little down. Well, on that answer, he sounded a little bit down. I think that probably there has been some of that. I mean, there's been a couple times when he's gotten up to that lectern. I think it was a couple of weeks ago and he gave like a 2-minute answer about how hard this season has been for him. I definitely locked in on that conversation because, I mean, that's some real stuff and you don't want him to lose like his personality, like the gregariousness. You don't want to see that taken away from him in any way, shape, or form. The one thing that I will say to everybody listening who is worried about Caleb Williams ultimately because of being, you know, the theory of being brought down by the Bears, which I can understand because you can make the case with Mitch Trubisky and Justin Fields that these two guys walked out of Halas Hall with their tails between their legs and they have been backup quarterbacks since with a couple of starts here and there for both Justin Fields and Mitch Trubisky. Here's the thing. I think that this is appropriate in life too, man. That, you know, the talent eventually rises to the top. If you are as good as we think Caleb Williams is, it is the talent part that will overcome it. He's got a lot of work to do. He's got a lot of learning to do about how to be a quarterback and some of the things that Chris Beatty was saying, learn how to learn. But he is more talented than both Justin Fields and Mitch Trubisky and a lot of other quarterbacks. So I don't think that this is a guy that can, quote-unquote, be ruined by the mechanism here at Halas Hall just because of that talent. And look, at his base, at his very base, and you know this and everybody knows this who's watched this guy speak about being in the Bears since the Combine where I was in February. He's a really confident, smart guy who, you know, checks all the boxes in terms of that. And now it's just a matter of getting the right coaching staff around him, allowing that talent to flourish.
Do you think this Sunday matters to these guys a little more, either for ending the losing streak or being the Packers?
Man, I don't know. And maybe I'll get a better feel of that today and on Friday, if I'm in there on Friday too. But it's hard to say, man. I mean, I would think that it's not so much the Packers at this point as do we want to be the team, the Bears team, the 2024 Bears? Do I want to be on that roster forever on footballreference.com that this was the team that lost 11 in a row? Because there's a lot of guys. We know that there's a lot of real guys in that locker room who have had really good careers, who have accomplished something in that locker room, or just guys that, you know, seem to genuinely want to win. So I think it's more about ending the losing streak than necessarily the Green Bay factor. So I think, you know, it would be quite something if they were to somehow go in there and get a win on Sunday. It wouldn't have like huge meaning for the season, but it would just be, I'll leave it at, it would be something.
That is Mark Grody covering the Bears for 670 The Score. And again, not even on the schedule today. Mitch Rosen didn't even tell him, get your butt down to Halas Hall. You got work to do. He had the day off. He took it upon himself for you, see? The Bears fan, the Score listener. Yeah, he's thinking about vacation, but that's weeks from now. He has work to do until then. You can also check him out on the host, as the host of the Take the North pod, along with Dan Wiederer, and follow him on Twitter at Grody Sports. Grody, always appreciate the time and the insight, sir. You are the best in the biz.
Happy New Year, Rami, and thank you so much, brother. I'll talk to you soon.
Same to you, my man. And he joins me on the Score Hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois. Yeah, man, this is a real, real important offseason for the Bears. Real important offseason. It scares me. Like, maybe that's why I'd rather do what I did at the start of the show, which is, like, look back and think about how things could be good because, man, I got concerns about this offseason and how they're going to handle it and if they're going to get the right guy. Meanwhile, there is a game this Sunday, as I mentioned, with Grody taking on the Packers. We'll get a view from the other side of that game. The host of Wisconsin Sports Daily from The Fan up in Milwaukee, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, joins me, Rami Makhlouf, next right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.